Now, if you think you know the book of Psalms, I want you to listen. Of all the books of the Bible, Jesus quoted out of the Psalms the most. Isaiah and the book of Psalms. Three of Jesus' last words from the cross are taken from the Psalms. I have a theory. When I walk my family into the forest and the sun set and we were stuck on the forest floor, I started marching through the Psalms and realized that I was saying the same words of Jesus on the cross. It got me through the night. And I wonder if Jesus used the Psalms as his script. That's why we call it the scripture, right? Into your hands I commend my spirit is from the Psalms 31. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? From Psalms 22. I thirst is spoken of in Psalms 22. And on the road to Emmaus, Jesus walked with the disciples and he opened their eyes to all the things which were written in the Psalms about him. The Psalms are full of allusions to Jesus because he's the son of David, and David is the major author of the book of Psalms. Most people don't know that the Psalms is organized into five books, much like the books of Moses. We call it the Pentateuch, penta for five, like pentagram. And each of the five books of the Psalms correspond to the five books of Moses. So in Genesis, we have the first segment. Charles Spurgeon, when he did his commentary on the book of Psalms, called it the Pentateuch of David. Now, each one of these five books of the Psalms ends with the same doxology, which reads, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting. Amen and amen." Would you repeat that after me? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Five times in the book of Psalms. There it is. The doxology. It closes out each of the five books of the book of Psalms. For instance, Psalms 1 through 41 would be book number 1. The 90th Psalm is a corollary to the book of Numbers. And interestingly, the 90th Psalm is the only Psalm that's attributed to Moses. Most of the other Psalms are written by David or the sons of Asaph or the sons of Korah. And in the Psalms 90, which would begin the Numbers section, he has several numbers. For instance, 70 years, by reason of strength, 80. A day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. And as teach us to number our days. So Psalms 90 begins the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book of the Pentateuch of David. The book of Psalms was the Jewish Psalter or Psalm book. It was the hymns of the Hebrews. Unfortunately, only heaven knows the melodies to these songs. And I'm picturing that they're singing them up there in heaven with David, the sons of Asaph, the sons of Korah, and they've got a big band going, right? Well, we have to settle with melodies by Renee Burnett and Rance Miller and other people, which we love. Rance is going to do his in a minute, Psalms 133. And the New Testament talks about this in two places. It says in Ephesians 5:18, "Be filled with the Spirit by speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." Now, Psalms would be an allusion to the book of our Hebrew hymn book. Hymns would be some of the hymns in the Bible. For instance, it's believed that Philippians chapter 2 is an early Christian hymn. spiritual songs would be the songs of Revelation, spiritual meaning on the breath. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty would be an example of a spiritual song. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We have patterned our services after that pattern. We do a psalm, we do a hymn, we do a spiritual song, a psalm for testimony, a hymn for instruction, and a spiritual song for worship, like the angels. Now, isn't it interesting? Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3:16, abide in the word. Here we have it, the two instructions. Jesus' words, abide in my word and let my words abide in you, and you can ask whatever you want, it shall be done. Paul said, walk in the Spirit. So we have the two sides of the same coin in the Psalms. We walk in the Spirit, we abide in the word, and the Psalms is a great place to do it. Sing it, read it, memorize it, rehearse it, study the book of Psalms. How many of you have a favorite psalm? You have a life psalm. I have a life psalm. Mine is one Psalm 116. We'll share that later. Now, every type of literature is found in the book of Psalms. We have instruction. We have story. We have prophecy. We have prayers. We have laments. We have history. We have alphabetical renditions from A through Z called acrostic psalms, and so on. Now, Psalms is found in the very center of your Bible. You open your Bible, Book of Psalms, there it is. Very convenient. Did you know that the very center chapter of the Bible is Psalms 118, which we just sang, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a psalm that they were doing as Jesus marched in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem when they sang, Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, to the Son of David. That's Psalms 18. It's the center chapter of the Bible. And right before it is the shortest chapter of the Bible, Psalms 117. And right after it is the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalms 119. Every verse has a reference to the Word of God. And that's an acrostic psalm, which we'll talk about more. Now, one psalm is repeated twice. Psalm 14, Psalm 53, says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's identical, pretty much. There's a few literary changes. Psalms 18 is also found in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2, 2, 2. 2 Samuel chapter 22 is Psalms 18 in the Bible. Psalm 70 is repeated in Psalms 40 in the last verses. Psalms 120 to 143 are called the Psalms of Ascent or the Psalms of Degrees. These were the songs that Israelites would sing on their way up to Jerusalem. Think of Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Can you imagine going to those three required great feasts of Israel, the Feast of Passover, the Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths, and singing a cartoon. That's what I call them. Songs of Ascent, Songs of Degrees. You can imagine a weary traveler as he turns the corner on the trail and he looks up and there's Solomon's temple in all of its splendor and glory. And he quotes Psalms 121. Besides the 15 Psalms of Ascent or Degrees, there's also 12 Hallelujah Psalms. Psalms 111, through 117. Begin with praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Psalms 146 through 50. Begin with praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Sons of Korah Psalms are 42 through 49. And 11 Psalms of Asaph, Psalms 73 through 83. Because David had a choir. The tabernacle of David was filled with music. It was wonderful. Now, I have created a mnemonic for remembering certain psalms. There's a flip-flop psalm, dyslexic, because Psalms 37 and 73 both talk about the meek inheriting the earth. Psalms 119, which we sang this morning, and Psalms 119 both talk about the word of the Lord. Psalms 42 and 43 have a common refrain. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. And possibly the best known psalm is Psalms 1 and Psalms 23. Interestingly enough, Psalms 23 we know as the shepherd psalm. Psalms 22 is the suffering servant psalm, which Jesus quoted from the cross, which describes his crucifixion. Then Psalms 24 is the sovereign savior psalm. So there you have it. There's a lot of rhyme or reason to the placement of the psalms. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1, it says evening and morning were the first day. Psalms 4 is the evening psalm. It makes several references to the evening. The psalmist says, upon my bed I will meditate. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's quoted in Psalms. It's quoted by Paul in his epistles. But if Psalms 4 is the evening psalm, what do you suppose Psalms 5 is? O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayers. Do you see the rhyme or the reason to the book of Psalms? Now, Psalms 91 is possibly the most important psalm of our day. I'm going to introduce this. The three-digit number that you call for the police, fire, and ambulance is 911. I tell my surfing students, if you get in trouble, if you see somebody out in the water in trouble, remember three things. 911. America's recent disaster was on September 11th or 9/11. I'm sure that there were some people calling upon the name of the Lord, jumping out of the Twin Towers. Psalms 91:1 begins the emergency psalm. And maybe this is a coincidence, or maybe God is using this to send a message that it's time to get into what Francis Frangipane called the place of immunity. It's the place of protection. How many of you would like to be protected in a storm? Okay, this is your psalm, Psalm 91. I'm preaching this sermon because my sister-in-law told us that she's memorizing Psalms 91. You can immunize yourself by the coming harm with this psalm. There is a place of protection, a place of immunity promised to God's people. Ultimately, it's going to be heaven, the paradise of God, or as Abraham called it before the resurrection, Jesus called it Abraham's bosom. Even death cannot touch us there. But there's also a place of immunity here on the earth. It is a secret place, a secret garden, if you will. And there you will find peace and refuge from the storm. For Jesus, it was the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark 1:35, it says, a solitary place. Jesus went there to retreat from the pressures of life, to reorient himself with his Father's perspective, and refresh himself with energizing solitude. How many of you have a prayer closet? How many of you have a war room? How many of you have a secret garden where you go to meet with the Father. Jesus had that, and that is the secret place. Psalms 91 speaks of the place of immunity. It's the emergency psalm. The psalm is a little confusing because the psalmist switches voices. You know what I mean when I say voices? There's first person, second person, and third person. First person is I, second person is you, third person is him, her, or they. And it switches back and forth. And I don't know the reason for that. I'm going to learn someday, maybe when I get to heaven. But in other words, whether you're coming or going, God has got you covered. Can I get an amen? I want to personalize this psalm by inserting a person's name every time there is a pronoun. And I often do this when I visit people in the hospital. If you've been visited by me in the hospital prior to COVID, I would either pull out Psalm 91 or Psalm 41, both of which are great chaplain psalms. So, take your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 91, the emergency psalm. And with your permission, Natalie, can I insert your name? Okay. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's two pictures here. Think of He covers you with his feathers. I remember a report of a fire that swept through a farm. And as the owner was going through, he kicked a pile of ash. And when he kicked the ashes, it went everywhere, and a bunch, 9 chicks came out. The mother had protected her chicks from the fire by covering them with her wings. Another picture is, think of the Ark of the Covenant with the angels at either end covering the very presence and the Shekinah glory of God. That's where you are when you dwell in the secret place. You have God's presence, you have his power, you have his protection, you have his provision. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler or the bird catcher. So the enemy is set traps for you. The Lord will deliver you. He will deliver you from the peril and pestilence. What could that refer to? Is that a reference to some? Is that a reference to COVID-19? He will rescue you from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you can take refuge. Wow. I love the image in from Down Under, where this little boy named Cody is protecting the animals. And there's this particular eagle that this trapper is trying to catch. And Cody goes to rescue this eagle. And he falls from the cliff into this cavern. And the eagle that he's rescued swoops down and just in the nick of time picks him up and carries him off. Rescuers from Down Under. It's a great movie. One we watch with our kids. What does it mean when God says, I bore you on eagle's wings? Yes. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Okay? Shield and your buckler on the shoulder. So when you fight with your right hand or your left hand, then you have a buckler is here to protect you while you use your sword. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. How many of you guys like the fine print? This is our assurance policy. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. It won't come near you. No weapon formed against you will prosper, Isaiah says. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Now here I'm going to add the name. Because you, Natalie, have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall Natalie. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over Natalie. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Where is this found in the New Testament? In the temptation of Jesus, he was taken up to the temple and instructed by the devil to throw himself down. And what did the devil do? He quoted Psalm 91 to tempt Jesus, to test the Lord. Okay? Go ahead, Jesus, throw yourself off the temple. The angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Natalie, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Paul said of Jesus, the Lord will bruise Satan underneath your feet shortly. Because, Natalie, you have set your love upon me, the Lord says, I will deliver you. And I will set you on high because you, Natalie, have known his name. You will call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer you. And the Lord will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you, Natalie. I will honor you. And with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Longer, stronger, 100 years or more. Can I get an amen?